Penguin Random House Audio presents Caregiving with Love and Joy, an expert's guide to providing the best Alzheimer's disease and dementia home care. This is the author, Patricia A. Boswell. Note to listeners, this program includes a printable bonus PDF of resources and worksheets from the book. I dedicate this book to my parents, James and Helen Boswell, who were such an inspiration throughout my life until their death. Caring is daring. Caring is understanding while sometimes being misunderstood. For those who have taken on the rainbow of this task, denial sits by us from time to time. Yet the heart always attaches to the heart who needs us most. While I may not always feel appreciated, I will be present for you with love and joy. Introduction. The right caregiver makes all the difference. I've always known that the right caregiver would make a difference, but I never thought it was a life or death decision until I had to force my way into my 82-year-old aunt's life to take care of her. Almost 5 years after her diagnosis of Alzheimer's disease. Even though my family knew full well that I was a home health care and hospice nurse, I wasn't asked to get involved until my aunt seemed to be on a total and complete downward spiral. The truth was, one of her sons, who lived close by, was in a deep state of denial and couldn't see how much help his mother really needed. The other son, who lived far away, and Atlanta finally intervened and contacted me out of desperation. By the time my Atlanta cousin called me to intervene, my aunt was severely depressed, hallucinating, and unable to respond or engage in conversation. She had been in and out of the hospital 6 times over the previous year with urinary tract infections. Her new condominium wasn't fit for her to live in because her local son had never helped her unpack. She didn't have a proper couch or chair in the living room or a decent table to take her meals. She was left to spend her days in a power bed watching television. I started by straightening out her home and brought in the right furniture so that she would be safe and comfortable. This fix alone enabled her to get out of her bed and back to walking, which improved her mood. Then I had the kitchen and living room walls painted a cheerful yellow because it was her favorite color. In the bedroom, I used a pale blue, which is thought to be calming for people with dementia. I decorated her bathroom in a darker blue so she would know that she was in a different room, and it would still have a soothing influence. I asked to see her medical records and found out that my local cousin wasn't keeping any. So I took out my LPN daily observation list and gave her a thorough exam. The first thing I noticed was her overgrown toenails. Toenails may not seem like a big issue, but I realized that if no one was monitoring her feet, it was quite likely that I would uncover other, more dangerous health issues brought on by a lack of care. It took me 5 months to get my aunt back to real health and on a regular schedule of doctor appointments. I took her to see a podiatrist and found a primary care doctor who specialized in geriatric dementia care. She hadn't had a mammogram, chest x-ray, or MRI in years. Her previous doctor hadn't recommended these tests because of her advanced age. Yet a mammogram showed that she had potentially cancerous nodules in her lymph nodes and needed to see an oncologist. If she hadn't had that mammogram, we would never have learned this information, and quite frankly, she might have died long ago. It wasn't until my aunt was showing significant signs of improvement that I felt comfortable relinquishing my role and made her children, my cousins, the primary caregivers. By that point, I had cared for my aunt for 3.5 years. I taught them the same instructions that are in this book. She was able to spend her last years looking and acting like a totally different person from the day I had appointed myself her guardian. Once she had access to the right foods, exercise, and activities, her mind was stronger. She was more resilient because her health and mood were under control. I am a licensed practical nurse, LPN, who is on the front lines of caregiving every day. This story is just one of the hundreds I have lived through over the years working as a professional caregiver, a job that became even more complicated with COVID-19, and what the disease taught all of us about nursing home care. Since then, many families no longer want to put their loved ones in a facility or are afraid to have healthcare workers come into their homes. I don't blame them, but what that means is that we are all in the same boat. Whether you expected to be the primary caregiver or not, you are now. If you were able to hire help in the past, that luxury may be gone. If you were considering putting your mother, father, or grandparent in a nursing home, now rebranded as a skilled nursing inpatient facility, SNIF, you may want to think again. All across the country, most nursing homes are privately owned, and their owners have been getting away with understaffing for far too long. The employees are overworked and underpaid, and are not always able to provide the very best care. You may find yourself in this position for other reasons. No one wants or expects their loved ones to have AD or another form of dementia. These are devastating illnesses, to be sure. I'm here to tell you that caregiving will not be the end of your life as you know it. In fact, I truly believe that taking complete responsibility for someone you love, who has loved you all their life, can be one of the most rewarding parts of your life's journey. There will be days that are hard, and there will be many others that are so filled with joy that it cracks your heart open. My goal is to help you have as many of these wonderful, memorable days as possible. My story. The most rewarding part of my job has always been advocating for my clients. I love providing them with more opportunities than they or their families thought were possible, which leads to a better quality of life even as they decline. Yet the part of my job that has kept me most engaged over the years is listening to and learning from older people's stories. I first recognized this passion when I was just about 6 years old. I lived across the street from a huge nursing home. Today, many nursing homes are more like detention facilities, but in those days, the seniors who lived there were encouraged to go outside by themselves and walk around the block. That was why I saw these elders all the time, and I liked being around them. I'm pretty outgoing, so I would make conversation. I would visit them and sit down and talk and listen to their stories. I also come from a family of nurses. In fact, I'm a third-generation nurse. My great-aunt was a nurse, and her niece, my aunt, with dementia, was as well. Now we have doctors in the family, too, but when I was growing up, African-American women were nurses. I passed the licensing exam to become an LPN when I was still in my nursing program, and then I transferred to business school. I was just one class short of getting my associate degree in nursing, but I wanted to try something new. So I applied and was offered a scholarship to Marymount Manhattan College to get my degree in business management. When I graduated, I became a production supervisor for Avon and stayed for almost 9 years. I like to say that I use nursing in business and business in nursing. As it is true, nursing taught me how to assess people. Nursing also teaches you how to be a good listener, because you have to be able to pick up cues from the patient in order to deliver the best care. Meanwhile, I quickly figured out that there aren't a lot of good listeners in the business world. When my husband, Ronald, took a job as a college basketball coach at West Virginia University, I made the switch back to nursing and stayed in New York City. I had just had my first child, and nursing gave me the flexibility to raise a family and take time off in large chunks and travel from New York to West Virginia. The best nurses were the ones who could think like a business person, a problem solver. You need to be able to strategize, be results-oriented, and manage people. These three skills come together to...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?